Hello, dear ones. Welcome to the coziest corner of the digital world, the Geeky Grandma's Encouraging Nudge. Hi, I'm Jill McCarthy, your geeky grandma, ready to infuse joy and techie wisdom into your day. Think of me as your go-to grandma for all things tech, guiding you through the gadget maze with a smile. The podcast is like a warm Sunday family gathering filled with lighthearted stories and wonders of our guests' experience. After years of molding young minds in the classroom, I've embarked on a new adventure. Whether navigating tech or being your sounding board through retirement, consider this your safe place, wherever you are in life. Join me for a lighthearted blend of wisdom, spunk, and enchantment on the Geeky Grandma's Encouraging Nudge. Let's dive into the magic together. Episode 67 brings us Jules Vitality, and this is her bio. Spotlighting amazing coaches and authors is Jules' passion in life. Being a mental health advocate, she often speaks in raising awareness and simple tools to battle setbacks. She thrives on connecting with other individuals with a positive mentality. And I'd like to throw out the word consistency. Miss Jules here is a consistent gal by all means. She's consistent in exercise. She's consistent in learning. She's consistent in travel. And all of that brings a rich depth to her personality. She's a digital nomad, and I can't wait to introduce her to you.
Thank you so much, Jill. This was such a warm introduction, and I appreciate your personal additions. Since we know each other a little bit, we have a really warm friendship, so I'm excited to be here today and have this conversation that can benefit our listeners, hopefully. So guys, stay on. I'm sure we're going to cover a lot of gems today.
Thank you. Yes, I've seen Jules all over the websites, but I got to know her a little bit more in August, and in September I started to take her Business Accelerator course, and that just became like a second home. There was a real sense of belonging, and Jules suggested that we meet with each other and test out each other's services, and it really became a close place, and that meant a lot to me. And her summits are very interactive, especially to the people who are presenting the summits, and that's kind of an unusual take. So Jules, our world traveler, why don't you tell me where your travels began?
Yeah, so I've covered a lot of the world by now. Next on my list is Southeast Asia, and I can't wait to go back to Europe and explore more of Europe. My first trip was just around the time when we met, actually, and that was a little scary. I actually had a coaching session with someone who said, stop the excuses. You are a free soul. You've always wanted to do this. Just stop the excuses. Let's resolve 3 excuses a week. How's that? She said. And that's exactly how it started. And then I started mentioning it to people around me. I'm like, oh, I have these 3 excuses to solve. And they're like, oh, I'll connect you with so-and-so. Oh, I have this resource. So things just started happening. So in a way, it was a great opportunity to learn not to panic, to write the list of things that are stopping you in achieving what you want to achieve and resolve them one at a time and talk about it to people. Ask for help. Ask for suggestions. People are more than happy to help you if they have even a tip or advice or a point of reflection or just a question. Sometimes people will ask you, well, why is that stopping you? Right? And you just reflect on that and you realize you're making excuses, maybe hitting your own limiting beliefs. And simple conversation with someone, even like yourself, Jill, can help you, you know, bust through those beliefs and realize how silly they are with believing the same things for years. And they really don't make sense when you say them out loud. Now, when you say them in your head, you're used to those thoughts. When you actually voice them, they're like, did I just say that? Have I been believing this? Right? So journaling, speaking out loud about what's stopping you from achieving your goals, or even just speaking about your goals and dreams. I think that's what propelled me to be able to travel more. And once I did that, and we can talk more about that, but you know, I hopped through basically 45 places, I will call cities, let's say, in 45 days. And once I did that, you know, speed travel, if I can come up with a new word, I've busted so many of my own fears, right? Fears of missing a train. I've missed a few. You know, fears of getting taken off the train by French police. I was still okay afterward. So, you know, just it really boosts your ability to believe in yourself and in the fact that everything will work out at the end. You know, life will resolve itself, even with temporary setbacks. So after that, I was a lot less scared of travel. Just recently, I had an opportunity to go out of need to Brazil. So I thought, okay, well, I'm already spending 24 hours of travel time getting to South America. I've never been there. Why don't I add a few destinations to that? So I hopped through Argentina, Chile, and Colombia on the way back. Again, also speed travel. But it felt amazing to add a few more stamps to my passport and see how much farther I can stretch myself. Out of like almost a week of travel, I think I only had 3 nights in a bed. The rest of them were overnight flights. So I did come back exhausted and some neck pains from sleeping on the planes and the airports. But again, I proved to myself that it's doable and you learn what you like and what you don't like. I would rather do that on trains than on the airplanes because of the wait times and delays and all of that stuff that can happen in the airports. You know, you try new things, you stretch yourself a day at a time. And that grows you as a person. And then when you share those learnings with others, that improves other people's lives as well, whether they use your tips directly or whether you just give them the confidence about doing something they want to do. So I love sharing my personal journey as much as I love sharing my business tips and resources because, as you mentioned, Jill, I show people that something's possible. And who knows, maybe they've been dreaming about that for a long time. And I show them, hey, listen, I just did it and it didn't have to be perfect. It didn't have to be all planned out. I didn't have to spend thousands of dollars and months of my life. It's possible to do on a budget. It's possible to do in a simple way and in the way you like it. So I hope that it will inspire some people to take some risks. I know travel's probably on a lot of people's mind. And even if it's just travel and going camping, it doesn't have to be big, but just getting out of your house and going and looking at new places and meeting new people, that expands our horizons more than a lot of other things can.
Wow. I remember you telling me one story a while back in your life, and you were going through some different mental transitions, and you told me about waking up in the middle of the night and going out and finding the travel magazines and flipping through them, planting seeds. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that is definitely something I'll never forget because I didn't really know anything about law of attraction. I didn't know anything about manifesting. I didn't know that I could allow myself to dream about something that I didn't believe was possible. But something was nudging me. I was sort of telling somebody this story and I was trying to understand why did I even get to the whole travel piece. It wasn't a coincidence because I was in a job I didn't enjoy. And I was looking for ways to get out of the job. And actually, one of the first books that I read was The 4-Hour Workweek, a famous book by Tim, I don't remember if he's not last name. And then one after the other, then one of the next books was about geo-arbitrage and how you can make a currency work for you in a country where your currency is valued higher than in your own country. And, you know, a little bit about investing principles, you know, saving, putting some money aside and how long that money can last you, how much longer in a country where currency is valued better. So little by little, somehow I encountered that website, International Living, and they offered a subscription and I subscribed and they started sending me the actual physical magazines. I was like, whoa, this is like old school. But guess what? Because they were mainly for retired people, this was the mode of distribution. This was a mode of consumption. They did have the digital versions as well and a lot more articles, which I later used to research exactly where I want to go, the cost of living of different places and so on. But it all really started with me flipping through the magazines and reading the articles. And some of them were written in a very informative way, like, you know, these are the options, this is what it's going to cost you. But some of them were stories and they were basically allowing me to imagine myself there. They were accompanied by beautiful photography. Classic one that people imagine in their eyes is, you know, the long white sand beach and the palm tree on an angle, right? And then, you know, maybe a hammock, something like that. I would flip through that and imagine myself there. And at first, of course, lots of limiting beliefs were coming up, like, oh, this is never going to be for you. You're not yet retired. You don't have the social, because a lot of them were about how to stretch your social security. I'm like, oh, you don't have the social security. You don't have any benefits. Like, how are you going to do this, right? Very shortly afterward, the pandemic hit. And even though in my position at the time, the law was that I wasn't able to work from home at all for a couple of months, and then maybe start like with one day a week or something like that. When the pandemic hit, a week or two later, we were all working from home. And very shortly afterward, it was like an indefinite thing. And I told my family at the time, I said, guys, let's go. That side of things, I had to convince people. I had to inspire them. We had to watch videos. We had to do research. So we had to put a lot of fears to bed. We had to address the issues like, oh, what about safety? What about drinking water? Like, of course, I did all the research. But it all started with the possibility of imagining myself there. Once they were all in bed, tuck everybody in, and I come back to the living room, I dim the lights, and I put a little nightlight, sometimes pour myself a little glass of wine, and I would read those articles, close my eyes. Sometimes I'd put some music, background music like jazz or something, and I would just imagine myself there. And then little by little, I started watching videos of people who've done it. And that inspired me, and that gave me ideas. And then I had a big challenge. I had a 2-story, 5-bedroom house, and a lot of junk, and 2 little kids. So how would we do this, right? Thankfully, we were already on a way to sell our house. We sold the house, and a friend offered his 2-bedroom condominium for us to kind of bunk around until we figure out what to do next. It was a partial transition to get rid of stuff to move into a 2-bedroom place. But because I knew that eventually I wanted to go and live abroad, I was ruthless with my junk. I was giving it away. I was bringing dumps of stuff to donation stores that were closed during the pandemic because they couldn't accept any more junk. And I would just leave it on the side of the road. I would put some stuff at the front and say free. I was ruthless because I'm like, if I were to travel, I need to be able to downsize and not be attached to material things. Maybe even some comforts of life. Maybe even some favorite clothes. Some relatives agreed to keep some boxes. Because I was already in the pandemic, a lot of my business clothes, business attire, beautiful shoes. Oh my goodness, I had 2 boxes of stilettos. They were already packed because I wasn't using them during the pandemic. So that was easy. I just literally moved them to that storage room in their place. But getting rid of stuff was liberating. It was hard, but it was liberating. Selling it for a penny on the dollar, again, was rough and tough because I knew I would never be able to buy it for that price. But once the stuff started flowing off the shelf, and most importantly, you know, what was rewarding about that is when you put something, let's say on the Facebook marketplace or some sort of classified, and people come and they buy it for something that's affordable. Like I remember this pregnant lady that came and bought a lot of my kids' stuff, including the crib. She was so grateful that I gave her maybe thousands of dollars worth of stuff for $200. She's like, she could equip her nursery, you know, and she bought one thing and I gave my, oh, were you having a baby? Were you having a boy or girl? Okay. So I gave her like whatever else I could think about. And she had tears in her eyes. And with many people, that's what happened because the things they buy for what they can afford, you know, I felt good getting rid of those things. And it wasn't easy. And I know a lot of people have that as a limiting belief or something that's stopping them from traveling or moving. And that's why I'm sharing this, because this was one of the hardest parts is parting ways with belongings or maybe even trinkets that you've accumulated. Maybe you're collecting things or whatever. Guys, there's always an option of storage. But I know so many people who have started traveling or moved to a different destination and they've gotten back to storage rooms and they've sold some stuff. Then they've come back another year, they've sold some stuff. And then they come back and they sold the rest of it or they just donated the rest of it. Because once you start living light, you never want to get back to that place. So I totally encourage everybody to evaluate what you guys already have that you don't use. Clothes that you had in your wardrobe for a year and you're not wearing it. That's a perfect opportunity for you to donate it, right? Start looking at things you've not been using and start getting rid of them one by one. Even if you don't have the dream of traveling or moving, it's just going to make your life so much more decluttered, right? And it's going to help you make better buying decisions and be in a better financial state because you're going to realize some things are just filling your shelves or your closets really for no reason. They may have some sentimental value. Well, we're living in the digital space, digital age. Take a picture of it. Create an online album, upload it to Instagram, Okay, it's never going to leave that page, right? So, and then get rid of it. Then send it to somebody as a gift. Then bring it to a homeless shelter. Make somebody smile. You can do so much with the stuff you don't need.
I want to stop right there for a minute and think about our audience. A lot of our audience is at that retirement stage or approaching it. And, you know, they're wondering, what am I going to do? They've got a whole house and they're going to downsize to a senior citizens building. And it is tough letting go. But like you said, you get into it and you see the smiles on the recipients. And is it like it or not, it's a phase of life. So
great point. I actually want to encourage everybody who is in that age category that you guys may have some steady income like Social Security to look into spending your retirement abroad. It may be a new thought. It may be a scary thought, but it is so much more affordable. On $1,000 American, you can live close to a luxury lifestyle in the third world country, in a developing country. I live in Mexico. I don't know if we mentioned that. And it is approaching to first world. It is geared to support Americans, Canadians, and Europeans and Australians spending their retirement here. There's so much supporting that lifestyle, either winter bird lifestyle or full-time lifestyle. You can live in your proper home. You can get taken care of. You can hire a nurse, a cleaning lady, somebody to come and cook for you for next to nothing. $40. $40 is what? Let's say 800 pesos. No, $20. A person will come and clean your place for $20. And for maybe 50, you can get a week worth of meals shopped, brought, and cooked for you by someone else.
Wow.
Medicine is very, very affordable. For me to go and, like, I always do that. Pharmacies here have a doctor on staff as a separate room. And for me to drop in and get an evaluation.
Have you enjoyed today's episode? Well, starting 2024, new communities and social media were created. The links to these are in the show notes. Don't forget to stay connected and follow this podcast. Keep updated with the recent uploads and new experiences my guests and I will share. If you need a little nudge, a little encouragement, you can always send me a message and book a call with me.
Is less than $5. $5 for me to go see a doctor. And yesterday I got a whole bunch of vitamins as well, probiotics, and whatever prescription was, and that was less than $30. Okay. So you guys are getting scared of things that you believe are true, but if you don't research them, you won't know. There are also a lot of insurance plans for retirees, for travelers. There's global medical insurance. That if you do have certain issues, you know, you can take care of that. You can take a flight home once a year, twice a year, go see a doctor, and then bring those medications with you if you need to. And because I know health is a concern, but I also want to encourage you to think about this. Majority of the people who move to a tropical destination, doesn't have to be tropical, could be a dry, you know, desert climate or a mountain. Mexico has everything, you know, Caribbean has everything. There's Costa Rica, Panama, all the islands. You have so many choices. Colombia also is very, very reasonable, and it has every single climate from the planet. So you can literally live a luxury lifestyle in the environment that you want, surrounded by community, because there are retirement communities, English-speaking communities all over the world, because people have figured this out. You're not going to be the only one. You're going to be supported by people, online communities and in-person communities. There are groups that get together locally, more retired age groups than my age. They play chess. They go dance salsa. They just go to the beach, right? Like, I used to live in a small town, which is a great start. Totally recommend it. You guys can look it up, Puerto Morelos. It's becoming one of the, like, really growing retirement destinations. A fishing village that's growing. And it has a very supportive retirement community. A lot of people, pretty much all of the locals, speak English. That's why for the year that I lived there, I barely advanced my Spanish, because everybody speaks English there. So it is in many destinations. Lake Chapala, if you have a little bit of a higher budget, it's in the mountains. It's a much more comfortable climate. Doesn't get very hot. It's dry, deserted climate, but it has a big lake, a huge retirement community there of Americans and Canadians. But the pricing, because of that, the pricing has been driven up a little bit, and it's similar to American pricing. So you need to budget a little bit higher, maybe 25% higher there. but there are lots of other communities where people will accept you even if you don't speak the language, even if you don't know what to do. Third world countries, you know, the warmer the climate, the warmer the people. They will welcome you and will help you find the way. And there's always, you have your phone. If you know how to use Google Translate, you're good.
Okay.
You're good, right? You literally can say, well, this is what people use here. They put a voice translator on and they say something to you in Spanish, and then they turn the phone your way and it tells you something in English, in voice, right? You don't have to read. You don't have to put your glasses on.
I like to stop you right there and just to bring a visual image to our listeners. Tell them where you live exactly and what you can see outside your window and, you know, some of the lifestyle. Could you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it can vary. Let me tell you what majority of the retired people do here. You usually pick a building, usually a condominium complex or some sort of a townhouse complex that would have water view. So whether that's the ocean or there's also a huge laguna between the ocean and the city, and you open your window, you open your blinds, and you see palm trees blowing in the wind in the background, a bright blue sky with an occasional cloud, lots of flowering trees, you know, pink, orange, red, yellow flowers. If you know the typical Hawaiian flower, there's lots of that here as well. And then, you know, you take a short walk or a very affordable, a $1 or $2 bus ride to a beach, and you just, you know, Your feet will sink into the soft white sand that will hug your ankles. And as you walk toward the water and you smell the Atlantic Ocean, I love the Atlantic Ocean. Pacific Ocean also has its beauty, but the Atlantic Ocean has this salty smell that even when you come close and you don't see it, you know you're close. Some of you maybe live in Florida and you know what it smells like. It's very similar to like Fort Lauderdale area, Miami. So you come out to the beach and then you walk toward the turquoise waves of different shades of blue, and you pick your own shade that you like. I love this really deep turquoise shade. And as you hear the waves rolling and foaming up, and then you put your toes in, and the water will washes off the sand off your ankles, and you feel the warm ocean hugging your feet. Again, the difference between the Pacific and the Atlantic.
Wow.
That warm water just runs up to your knees and it just hugs you, and again, you smell it again, and the sun reflects off the water, and then you hear the seagulls and the, what's that bird?
the one that
eats fish. I forgot. But there's these huge birds that just dunk into the water to fish. I will remember the name for it when I stop thinking about it. And then you see some boats in the background, some fishing boats or some cruise ships passing by, and you will hear kids playing in the water and families and, you know, couples walking the beach and lots of people just like you, enjoying the weather, enjoying the sun. Whether you're a heat lover or not, you can do it early in the morning or late at night. I've done this at midnight when instead of the sun, you can imagine the moon reflecting off the water, the same warm water hugging you, the same warm breeze, you know, moving the palm trees in the wind, and again producing that, it's almost like a bamboo forest kind of noise when the palm trees palm leaves rub against one another. So all these sounds and smells and temperature and the sight, it stimulates all your senses, and you automatically become more healthy and more well. That's actually a medical term called better by the sea. Inhaling that air, connecting, grounding yourself with the planet, allowing that water and all the nutrients it has to offer to penetrate through your feet, through your skin. If you can go for a dip, for a swim, even better. But you don't have to. It can absorb through your feet. That's your magnesium. That's half of your medicine cabinet, okay? And you're absorbing that and vitamin D through the sun. You're absorbing all of that naturally. In days, weeks, months of time, you're not going to need the medications you're taking, okay?
Oh, wow.
You're going to be better automatically. So many people that move here and start eating the different foods as well, right? Think about all the tropical fruit that here are like dirt cheap. They are normal, you know? I hunt for peaches because they're out of season, because they get shipped from the middle of Mexico. But you have, you know, oranges, mangoes, star fruit, all kinds of fruit that were considered tropical and unique. They're normal here. They just grow off. You can pick them off a tree, right?
And the other thing I'd like to point out is I can't tell you how many nights Jules will say, well, I met up with this group of friends, or this group of friends is having a barbecue party. And you've even mentioned how you would have maybe three or four different languages being spoken in the little group, or an impromptu karaoke party.
Absolutely. I find that because of this type of lifestyle, it takes some sort of stress away from us. I don't know what it is. I know it is, you know, it is making a living, it's making our ends meet, and it's the constant speed pace of life in North America, in the States and Canada, because, well, Mexico is North America as well, but I mean the Western society, so to speak, is so stressful. And even when you retire, you still feel it. You still see people rushing. You still see traffic. You still hear bad news. You still watch your TV and all the bad news, right? Which is the first thing I recommend everybody to stop doing, is to go on an information diet. But we can address that later. But the main thing is you get surrounded by people who are happy and almost stress-free. Like, of course, all of us have other stresses in life and things happen that we have to deal with, and, you know, whatever it is, it could be multiple things, but majority of people are automatically happier, they're friendly, they're welcoming, they don't care what language you speak, very multinational in all of these travel destinations where people just choose to retire. And people understand that the higher age you get, the less inclined you're going to be to learn the language. So they become more adaptable to that. You know, a lot of doctors speak English. There's definitely ways to find English-speaking services and communities, and you can always find a friend who speaks both and take them with you. Like, I help people translate. I have no problem. It took me, 3 years now to get to a level of speaking it comfortably. But at the same time, I want to encourage you guys to learn another language. Start now. Think of where you want to go, move, whether it's Thailand or Mexico or another. Well, I think you probably have, majority of people go to either a Spanish-speaking country or Asia, right? So Spanish, I find, for me, is easier to learn. It's also in the same sort of time zone area, right? So all of the destinations in Central South America and Mexico would traditionally speak Spanish. So it's easy because we have the same alphabet. It's easy because a lot of the words have the same root. Television, televisión. It's the same, right? Like, so many words are the same. And it will help you prevent Alzheimer's. It will get you something to do. Will keep you occupied. It's fun listening to Spanish music, you know, watching the videos about the destinations, watching lots of training videos that help you learn a language that doesn't even seem like learning. You're just watching a video, right? And then you get to practice it and you get to make mistakes again. You're pro at everything by now, right? And maybe it's something that stops people, but when you open your mind to being a learner again, to learning a new destination, new culture, meeting new people, you feel younger. You get the energy because when you retire, you automatically feel like, I've done it all and I'm done. I'm good. You know, I've gotten to the point where I'm comfortable. I'm going to stay here. And often that's what kills you. That's what makes you age faster, makes you bored, you know, give up. And eventually maybe you're going to have depression and this and that. So make a dream for yourself. Don't set a timeline, make a dream and start moving in that direction. Start doing things that are new and different and exciting. And if it's hard, don't do it. Think of something that you can do instead that is actually going to make you feel good. So if you use your guidance system, your emotional messaging as your compass that navigates you towards something that will make you a happier person and give you a happier life, if you get more in tune with your emotions, you know, something you resist, step away from that. Move on to something that makes you happy, that makes you excited. And maybe it's not another country, but maybe it is moving from a city to a small town or to a community in the country where it is also a lot more affordable, right? I just met a couple who moved from Orlando to the middle of Florida to a small retirement community. They're not even retired yet, but they find that pace of life more supportive and it's a lot cheaper and just different. They're not running around anymore. So that could be an option for you as well. So a move in general may seem like, oh, I know what I was born in this house. I was raised in this house. I raised my kids and grandkids in this house. So what? Now you've accomplished your mission. Okay, now it's time to think about you. What do you want? Where do you want to see yourself? And I was just this morning listening to Lewis Howe's affirmations, and she shared a little bit of her story. She started her publishing house at 55. she kept going with age. She's like at 70 something, she decided to conquer one of her fears, which was ballroom dancing. And she attended, I think in her 70s, a first painting class, which was four children. And she was the only, you know, grandma, but she wanted to learn how to paint. So guys, age is not a limitation. It's just a number. It's how you feel inside. And the more you allow yourself to get tuned in to what you really want, what makes you happy, and those could be little things, right? Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the rest of the 20, 30, 40, 50 years you may have to live, right? Because look at it, like you probably started living your life after you've done your college, your practice, this and that. You know, if you had a PhD, you probably didn't stop schooling until you were 25 something, right? And then you retired at 65, that's 40 years. You may have another 40 years to live, or half of that. So make sure you enjoy it. Make sure you think about yourself finally, because I'm sure if we're talking to women here, you've been slaving away at your family, your kids, grandkids, relatives, you were a babysitter for everybody in your family, you know, you've been there for everybody in the hospital, you've, you know, helped with a lot of funerals, you know, you've probably gone to through all of this and thinking, oh my goodness, oh, I think thankfully I'm still useful to someone, right? Because you value yourself based on how useful you are to others. Well, it's time to think about yourself. Spend a few minutes journaling or just thinking quietly, maybe put in the music you like. Allow yourself to listen to the music you like. Make yourself a meal you like. Start doing a little bit more of something you like every day. Buy yourself flowers. You know, again, Louis Hayes, I think she said in her 60s, she finally had a garden. She owned her garden and she started growing the plants she was eating, right? Buy a pot, put a seed of herb in it and see how it grows. And remember, just like that seed, your desire can sprout and grow. You just need to water it, just like that plant. So I encourage you guys to go deep and figure out how do you want to spend the rest 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life.
I think that calls for an amen. Thank you so much. And you borrowed so many of the words. I think you almost like I handed you my script. I love it all, and you're right, and that's what we encourage on this show, and you've been through it, you've gone through it, you've even, you know, been digital nomad and take your laptop, and if you, like you say, if you have your laptop, you can earn money, and you're experimenting these places, and I've watched your travel with a backpack, and come home tired but smiling with new images. So yeah. Thank you so much for being our guest. Do you have any one last word?
Yeah, so you mentioned making money from your laptop, and I think a lot of people who approach retirement also think about how can they maybe supplement their income. And again, you've got to figure out what you like doing, but I'd also encourage you not to be scared of technology. There's lots of opportunities, even in the virtual assistant world. If you know how to open emails, make appointments, you know, make phone calls, maybe if you're open to that. You can find a little bit of income on the side, or you can even volunteer that for a bit before you, you know, build up a bit of confidence. And there's lots of virtual assistant agencies that actually hire people who are retired, because you guys are so skilled and amazing and full of wisdom. So who wouldn't want to have you run their business? If you guys watched, what was that movie? The Intern, right? He won because Between a young newbie and somebody who has a life full of experience, you know, who would you choose? So I would encourage you to reflect on your experience and wisdom and maybe give it some gratitude. Write down the stuff that you know that you've gone through, that you've accomplished in your life, whether it's just raising a family, right? And be grateful to yourself for everything that you've gone through, suffered, accomplished, learned. And remember, if you are grateful for something, more of that will come. So be grateful for the happy moments. Be grateful for what life has given you. And don't be scared of stepping out of that pattern and creating a new dream for yourself, something completely different, completely off the cuff. Get inspired. Look at social media content, online content, you know, YouTube. Pinterest has lots of ideas for dream boards. You can even Google something like dream board for retirees, for seniors, right? And you'll just get inspired by that imagery. And then you create your own, whether you cut it out of magazines and put it on the board. I actually have a physical dream board. A lot of it already came true. One of the pages was about traveling to destinations. And actually, I think my European trip, I've posted a post saying I've surpassed my dream board, right? So wow. Then I create a new one. So yeah, I just want to inspire you guys to to really focus on yourself and live with gratitude, dream big, ask people for help and assistance. Try to tune in to what makes you happy and do more of that and less of the stuff that doesn't. Like if the news make you anxious, turn them off. Read a good book instead. Watch a happy movie, watch a comedy instead. So yeah, just be in tune with who you are and be the light to this world because it all comes with you. If you want to make positive impact in the world, you cannot make it as an unhappy person that serves everybody and begrudgingly, right? It has to come from a place of love and happiness. So fill your own cup before you continue filling everybody else's cup. I think that is very common in that generation, well, and between women as well, that we fill everybody else's cup before our own. But even on the airplane, they tell you, put your own air mask on. So that would be my encouragement to everybody.
Very good. And thank you for being our guest.
So happy to be here, Jill.
Oh, dear companions, another fantastic story concludes. But fear not, the adventures continue. Can't wait till I see you next week. If our time together sparked joy, and I hope it did, spread the love. Share this podcast with your friends, families, anyone in need of geeky wisdom and a sparkle of joy on their journey. Tech-savvy pals, your task. Head to your favorite podcast platform. Leave a sparkling 5-star rating. Your appreciation warms the heart of your grandma. Stay connected. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and in our show notes. Share your thoughts, techie triumphs, and grandma-approved tech snacks. As we wrap up, remember, you are cherished members of the Geeky Grandma family. Until our next rendezvous, keep smiling, keep learning, and may your digital adventures be as delightful as a warm hug from your favorite grandma. This is a Geeky Grandma signing off. See you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.